Well, joined now by Dr. Syed Shamsul Islam, who's a scientist at ECU's Edith Cowan Uni's School of Science here in Joondalup. Syed, thank you for joining us. Thanks for coming into the studio. I'm pleased that you're not sleepy on the job.
Yes. Thanks for inviting me here. It would be my great pleasure to share my research in sleep with this audience.
Sleep apnea, of course, with a little joke there about sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
Glad you picked that up very quickly and took it in the right sort of spirit. What exactly is sleep apnea, Syed? What does it mean to most people? Just put it to us in simple terms. You know, who suffers from it? Men and women, young people, older people?
Sleep apnea is that your sleep is disrupted due to maybe some obstacle in the upper airway structure. So you get some obstacle and then sleep, your brain gives signals that no, you have to wake up and remove that obstacle. So that way our sleep get obstructed due to some upper airway structures. And if this happens many times, then it is counted per hour basis. So if it is more than 30, then it seems that within an hour, more than 30 times your sleep has been disrupted. That's the heavy things that will affect your daytime work, awareness, etc. And mostly the young people from age 40 to 60, they are more susceptible to this one. But these days we find some women and children are also affected with sleep apnea.
It has been described as a silent killer. Is that a common thing?
Yes, it is a silent killer because the research shows that more than 20%, I think only 82% men and 92% of the women of sleep apnea, they live without diagnosed this sleep apnea. So that means people live with this and they think that it's normal. And it's a misconception that when people snores, we feel that they are in deep sleep. But actually their sleep has been disrupted by this snoring. So people live with that. And also the treatment for sleep apnea is expensive. And you have to spend the whole night in the hospital to monitor different things. And then you can get diagnosed whether you have sleep apnea or not. So that way, and also it's expensive to stay in the hospital and the many equipments are there. So if you have no private health insurance, then it goes around $2,000, $1,500 to $2,000.
And, of course, it can lead to all sorts of stresses and all sorts of other medical conditions, the fact that people are not sleeping as such. We tend to make a bit of a joke about these sorts of things, sleep apnea, snoring, oh, what a damn noise, you know, we're in the family and the husband or the wife is making this noise throughout the night, therefore I can't sleep, you know, and I don't have sleep apnea and I don't snore. I guess it affects a lot of people, doesn't it? And, of course, it can lead to a lot of productivity loss in the economy as well.
Yeah, you are right. Actually, if your sleep is disrupted, whether it is insomnia, that you cannot initiate your sleep, or you are not sleeping well, so or it's the sleep apnea with due to some physical obstacle in your due to physical structure, the upper way structure that got collapsed during your sleep. So if your sleep is not sound, then you would be more likely to sleep in the daytime. And if you're driving, then it's more likely you make a roadside accident or in workplace accident. And it is actually more dangerous than having alcohol and having having alcohol and driving is less dangerous than having no sleep and driving.
And that's an interesting take on it. Now, less than 20% of people with sleep apnea get diagnosed. Why are so many people actually falling through the net? Less than 20% of people, I understand, with sleep apnea actually get diagnosed as having sleep apnea. That's a very high percentage. Why are so many people slipping through that net?
Yeah, as I told earlier, that sleep apnea, people think that, okay, I can live with that. And if they go for being treated, diagnosed, they need to go to particular places. they call it the sleep clinic, and the sleep clinic does a polysomnography test, which is very expensive, and only in few places this can be done. It's a whole night sleep study. Lots of electrodes needs to be put, so that way it's not comfortable to sleep in the sleep clinic, and many people cannot manage the time as well, and the expense is associated with that as well. So,
can I just jump in here and sure. and put to you that some people probably don't want to know whether they've got sleep apnea. They don't acknowledge it as such, that they've got a snoring and a sleep apnea problem.
Yes, you're right, because some people think that it's just snoring, so maybe I can manage with that. But since if your sleep is disrupted and actually you are getting less oxygen, your oxygen saturation levels get reduced, and that way many other diseases may come in, heart stroke and some other diseases that involves with that. So people, unless they are at the end of their situation, they are not aware of this. But our research is aiming to identify this in earlier stages where the major symptom doesn't appear, but if we can take some measures, then actually we can prevent that one.
You've been working on artificial intelligence-based technology. That's to provide three-dimensional scans of faces to more effectively scan for sleep apnea. Tell us how this works and how much better is it than the traditional methods?
We are looking into using some 3D technology, for example, 3D surface scanner that is different than X-ray or a Cone-beam CT scan. So the X-ray is actually a 2D, so it gives us only a two-dimensional information. But with the 3D surface imaging, we get the depth variation of different facial structure. So we know that the facial structure, for example, distance from your chin and the hyoid bone and some other structure are directly associated with sleep apnea. So instead of going for an X-ray, which is also involved radiation, so some people, obviously, that's another reason that why people doesn't go there. The radiation is involving there. And some images, the two-dimensional image is always less accurate than the three-dimensional image. So our technology with the 3D scanner, which is in market now and getting the prices getting lower, with that technology, without any radiation, without harming any skin or eye, we can take images and we do analyze the facial structure that are associated with sleep apnea, and that if we can collect the data, lots of data from the sleep apneic patients and non-sleep apneic patients, and we can apply some advanced technology, for example, the deep learning in artificial intelligence to learn from the features of the sleep apneic patients, and they can the algorithm can automatically learn to differentiate between sleep apneic patient and non-sleep apneic patient, and that way we can actually come up with some features that may not be easily understandable by naked eye.
It's wonderful what you can use computers for these days.
Yes.
Is this new method you're talking about more or less intrusive than the traditional methods? From what you were saying earlier, it seems like it's less intrusive, and therefore patients will be more inclined to take it on.
You are right, yes. Obviously, the polysomnography, which is the gold standard for the sleep apnea diagnosis, that is very uncomfortable. I did the same test in Fiona Stanley Hospital. I had to stay whole night. Lots of electrodes has been placed on my body. I didn't feel comfort sleeping in that manner. So discomfort is there. And the other technology, like for example, to look into your airway, we do the CT scan or the X-ray. Those are highly radioactive, so that are more intrusive than the 3D technology that we are talking at here.
People may be more inclined to take it on, of course, because of being less intrusive, and you might end up with more patients than ever.
Yes, you're right, and I'm planning to that if we can come up with some technology through this learning system, then we can put this camera, this 3D camera, in GP clinic. So every patient go there, they take a snapshot, and then our algorithm can automatically give an indication this person is this much likelihood of having this sleep apnea.
When do you expect this technology to be widely available in the community?
Sorry again?
When do you expect this technology to be widely available in the community?
The trend in 3D sensor development is going ahead. I started my research with a machine, a 3D machine, costing about $80,000. But now I can purchase for my the most recent version of my research. I'm going to purchase within by $20,000 with this this machine. So the technology is getting closer, cheaper and cheaper, and hopefully within few years, around 5 to 7 years time, this should be very much available in any GP clinic or within mobile phone as well.
You've been working with a number of other researchers. Some of those researchers are in the hospital sector, I understand. So is there interest by hospitals now in taking on that technology?
Yes, I talked with the Fiona Stanley Hospital. I talked with the Charlie Garden Hospital. They are very much interested to diagnose, at least pre-diagnose the patient with this imaging. And that would reduce the current load in the hospital because the currently a long waiting period is for the sleep test. So if they can at least pre-diagnose with the 3D technology, which is very quick, even they can do it in the first appointment, and then they prioritize the patients through this diagnosis. And once it is fully in market with all lots of patients' data in this algorithm, then it can actually give better result, and we can take in as the first step of diagnosis.
Of course, it's been around for a while that the eyes are the clues to a number of ailments that we have, if I can put it that way. The skin seems to be a bit of a new one to me. Am I right in saying that the skin is a new area of technology that you're looking at?
Which is skin?
That you're looking at the skin and the features of the face, the skin on the face, as actually part of that technology, and that's leading to clues that you can actually pick up on and actually put that into practice to help people.
Yeah, this is a new research, especially in computer vision image processing. We had many research looking to people's face for identification purposes. But in medical science, they are putting more emphasis on this because the scientists are finding many features that we cannot see in naked eye, but with computer analysis of a 3D structure of our face, we can get, actually some research shows that there is very good link correspondence between disease and facial structure. So this research will actually open up many other windows for diagnosing some rare diseases and other things which actually we cannot see in naked eye, but computer can identify those.
Syed, it's a fantastic project that you're working on, and I wish you all the best. And, you know, let's hope that more people actually put their hand up and say, like, you know, I may have sleep apnea, and I want to do something about it for my sake, but also for the other people in the household. And, of course, we can get rid of or at least reduce the number of people who are dying as a result of this silent killer, as we put it earlier, and, of course, reduce the number of people who are being affected in their lives and, of course, not only their social life but also their work life. And, of course, that's lost productivity, as we alluded to earlier on. Thank you for joining us on 89.7. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.